It's that time to get our weekly view from the north. Theme music this week, a little extra special for me. You can find his work for Comcast Sportsnet and Portland Online, CSNNW.com. Talking Ducks and More, Comcast Channel 737 on your Xfinity. Follow on Twitter at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how you doing?
You know, I'm doing all right. I'm kind of in summer mode. So I'm like trying to lay low and stay out of people's eyesight. But I'm asking to do stuff. Nothing to do. So I'm chilling.
Are you going to try and enhance your golf game anymore this season?
I'm at the golf club right now. It's demo day.
Nice.
And I need new golf clubs badly. So, they're pimping it hard, man. One of the golf pros here is trying to push a new set on me.
All right.
I do need one. My set's like 20 years old.
Oh, no. It's time. Let me tell you something. The technology is ridiculous once you use. I mean, if you're out there swinging new irons, and especially some of these rescue clubs and big-headed drivers, I mean, you really got to make your move.
What's a rescue club?
It's not a traditional 3, 4, 5 wood. They're these
hybrids.
Yeah. I call them rescue clubs because they sort of rescue my game at times.
Nice.
So, by the way, after we talked last week, of course, on Sunday, I got to see the Michael Jackson show, the Cirque du Soleil in Vegas. And I'm not one of those because I've seen a million things and I'm older. I've seen Ella Fitzgerald, Sinatra, Led Zeppelin. I'm not one of these. That's the best show I've ever seen, but I'll tell you what, I never saw anything like that.
It's pretty damn good. The only thing missing is Michael himself, but they tried their best at the end with the hologram Michael. Although I will say this, I went and saw it with Bree, my squad partner in crime.
Right.
2 years ago, we were in Vegas for a tactical tournament, and at that, this just tells you how deep of a Michael Jackson fan I am. I was pissed off at the hologram because the hologram did everything backwards. A lot of Michael Jackson impersonators, because they watch TV, they see Michael Jackson kick with his right leg, so then they kick with their left, because that's how they're seeing it in the TV. But when I was a kid and I was training myself how to dance like Michael Jackson, I was smart enough to reverse it, so I do everything right-hand oriented, just like Michael. So when I see anyone, an impersonator or that freaking hologram, do it left-hand oriented or left-foot oriented, it pisses me off. I was mad. I was booed.
Wow. By the
other
way,
the show is epic.
If you would have gotten up and booed, I would pay a month's salary for that video.
But after three, when we left, I was a little pissed. That's BS.
That's hysterical.
They couldn't even get the Michael Jackson hologram to kick with the right leg.
Well, my wife, during Man in the Mirror, when they dropped the hologram in, I mean, she was not just a little teary-eyed. She was practically losing it. But it was spectacular. So I don't know if we could cut a deal. Anybody, if you're ever in Vegas on behalf of Fentress and Tannen, go. And by the way, I don't know. I said screw it. We sprung. We sat, 14th, 15th row in the center because there's a lot going on. Did you get? Were you able to score decent seats?
Yeah, no, we had really good seats. I made sure of it. I was like, I don't go to Vegas all that often. Well, once a year, I guess. But here's the thing. I've been to Vegas for 4 Pac-12 tournaments. I think it's been 4, right? 3 or 4. I've only gotten to see them once because they're dark some nights, and then sometimes Oregon State have played at night. When they were on, so I've only seen it once in 4 times. Not irritating.
No, it's just
so
awesome.
For good seats, I was like, I'm gonna go ahead and pay the full boat.
Yeah, we did the same thing. So I'm working overtime now just to pay for my one seats. All right.
So now that your listeners are like, yeah, Michael Jackson, whatever.
not quite there yet. I guess we should talk some sports. Let's start with LeGarrette Blount. He left the Pats for the Eagles. I mean, amazing. I was looking. He's got 2 rings, over 5,000 yards. And after the punch in 2009, I remember when Chip Kelly talked about reinstating him, he said he doesn't want the punch of Byron Hout to be only what Blount is known for. Could that ever go away, or with what he's accomplished now, has he actually taken steps in a direction where that's kind of more of a fading memory?
Yeah, I think he's definitely overcome it. I think it's never going to completely fade because it was just such a monumental moment in college football history. I mean, he just dropped, dude. So it's something that's always going to be attached to his name. But I think he's overcome it to the point where there's a lot of other things he's done well in the NFL, like rushing for 1,000 yards his rookie year, actually, you know, and then, of course, winning the Super Bowl. And then this past year, goodness gracious, I was kicking myself all season. I didn't draft him late in my fantasy league at 18 touchdowns, right, crying out loud. So, no, he's got a nice career for himself. And, you know, he's been in a situation where he hasn't been paid a lot. No one's made him a franchise back. So he's never gotten a long-term deal worth a lot of money. So I don't blame him at all for saying, okay, I have a fair chance to make twice, you know, not twice as much, but maybe, you know, 50% more with the Eagles, and get as much cash as he can because, you know, he's what, 28 now?
Yeah, well, he's a running back.
Yeah, yeah, but here's the thing about him, though. I think he's going to be able to play into 33, 34 as a specialist power back, you know, backup. Like, if he's 33 years old, he's my number three back off the bench on the goal line. That's good money if you can get it, right? And I would sign the guy. So I think he's got several years up in him, but I think he's going to end up back with New England. I'm putting money on that.
Well, you know, weird enough, I forgot because he was a JUCO. He turned 30. He'll be 31 in December. So yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
Isn't that weird?
Good for him to try and chase that money, but I have a feeling that a couple years down the line he'll sign him with the Patriots again for the minimum.
All right. I want to get a baseball thought. Your Cubbies have won a couple in a row. They're at least back over 500. I mean, let's face it, the NL Central doesn't look loaded. It's very mediocre. Although Chris Bryant's the only regular hitting over 275. Arrieta's getting hit. So mid-May concern, or is it like, look, these guys will get rolling and they're going to win the Central?
I'm a little concerned because Arrieta's fastball has dropped 3 or 4 miles per hour, and they're really searching for the fifth starter. And a lot of guys who you expect to take another jump in their abilities this year, like Baez, Addison Russell, Schwarber, are all underachieving. So it kind of makes – and Contreras, oh, my God, he's horrible. He's in like 200. So all four of those young guys – who were so instrumental last year. I mean, Schwarber obviously just in the World Series, but they're all regressing. So that makes me a little worried because you're asking for all four of them to pick it up in the second half as opposed to just one or two. So I'm a little concerned, I'll admit. And then you look at teams that are running away right now. And the Nationals are tearing it up. So, you know, I think they're going to make a splash, you know, around the trade deadline. I don't think they're going to let this season go by the wayside. I do think they'll be in the playoffs, but I'm not feeling them as a contender right now because of all those guys struggling.
Yeah, and when you say struggling, it's 230, it's 220, it's 188 for Schwarber.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Exactly.
All right.
I bought way too many of their rookie cards in the offseason for them to be doing that.
Make it all about you and your collection. I can understand
that.
Talking with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sports Net. Let's get to the NBA. So when we see the regular season... Remember, I said the NBA.
What? Is it the finals yet? Is it the finals yet?
Well, I said it's the NBA, not the playoffs.
Oh, my bad.
So in the NBA and the NFL, we always hear down the stretch, you know, it's time to suck for luck and, you know, get the best draft status possible. So Mark Cuban comes out and said, yeah, we pretty much started playing our guys because we wanted to lose. You know, an owner admitting that out loud. Is that just honesty? Crazy? What you think he's going to get a call from the commissioner? What do you make of that?
I think he should get a call and a fine from the commissioner for saying something like that. That's one of those things you just let it lay. I mean, everyone can see what you're doing when you're playing a bunch of young guys. You figure you're going to lose a bunch of games, and you're developing young guys hopefully as well. But to just say it out loud like that, it's just not. I don't think that's very smart. But you know, the NBA, that's just. More than any other sport, man, that's the sport where when you're out of it, it's best to suck. It just is. It's just a fact. Because if you can get that marquee guy in the top five, it's going to change your franchise as opposed to being where my Bulls and the Blazers are right now, where you might get lucky and hit on a guy, or you're just going to get another rotation player who you're going to, you know, not signing as a free agent in 4 years. So, you know, I don't blame teams for doing it. Because, think about it. If I have a chance, let's see, if I say to myself, if I lose 10 of the next 15, I got a better shot to get Tim Duncan. Or if I win 10 of my next 15, I'm going to get stuck with Chauncey Billups. Now, Chauncey Billups is a nice player, but who's a franchise changer? Well, Tim Duncan. Well, of course I would do everything I can to try and be in position to get a Tim Duncan.
No, I agree. I just think it's a matter of, look, we all know, you know, I know, they know. Dude, you're one of 30 owners. Don't say it.
Right.
So you mentioned the Blazers. They have the 15th, 20th, and 26th pick. And, of course, we know free agents couldn't find Portland on a map. C.J. McCollum, they drafted in 2013. They have not had a draft pick since by either not having a draft pick or the ones they've had haven't seen the floor. So you're up there in Portland, the folks you're talking with. I mean, what are they thinking about? Packaging? I mean, do they think the draft is deep enough to get some help? I mean, it just seems like they're kind of in that purgatory again.
Yeah, well, Paul Allen loves the draft. He loves having draft picks, so he's probably very giddy. but I think they'd be wise to do whatever they can to either trade up, if that's possible, which is very unusual in basketball, or package draft picks and maybe a player or two to try and make some kind of blockbuster trade with someone trying to dump somebody to try and get an upgrade at some position, any position. I don't care where it is. I'd even entertain Carmelo Anthony, to be honest with you, because they're just in that position where they're not going to draft a star, more than likely. They're not going to ever sign as a free agent a star that a star free agent, and they're so far the cap, they're probably going to sign anybody. They could probably afford us right now. but draft picks, people value draft picks, especially teams that are rebuilding or teams that want to dump a high salary player. I think maybe they should move a couple of them. I will say this though, I do think if Jordan Bell's on the board, at least by their second pick, they should take him. Man, I think Jordan Bell would fit in perfectly. You give him a power forward that can rebound, block shots, run the court, something they do not have right now. He probably wouldn't start, but you can give him a lot of minutes off the bench, being that guy. I think it'd be a good pickup for the Blazers.
That would be interesting. So you alluded to it earlier, so let's wrap with this. Are we kidding ourselves? Could we just lock it down and somebody call me when the freaking finals start?
Oh, I've boycotted. I have not watched one full playoff game yet, other than I went to one. The one I went to with the Blazers Warriors. I watched that. Of course, that was over the first 3 minutes. No, it's been horrible. We all know what's going to happen. And this has happened before. We've known in the past when a team's going to make it to the finals. But there's always been some intrigue somewhere. You know, there's always been some team. Well, maybe like Indiana with the Bulls. Maybe Indiana could beat the Bulls. Maybe the Knicks could beat the Bulls. You know, maybe this team could beat the Spurs. Or even Shaq and Kobe's Lakers. Maybe, you know, the Suns that 1 year, Spurs that 1 year. There's always a maybe. There's no maybe. And one of the reasons is because the Warriors took Durant from the only team in the West that had a chance to beat them. They eliminated their best competition by taking the best player from that team. And then in the East, they're just stacked, and LeBron's just so good, and the rest of the East is just so mediocre. I mean, come on, Boston's the number one seed, arguably the worst number one seed since ever. It's just boring. Wait me when the finals come. And even then, I might not get intrigued by the finals until game 5 when it starts to matter.
Nice. Well, so the NBA will not be calling you to do their promos.
No.
I don't
see
that.
They would not want to do that at all.
All right. Good stuff as always. I'll let you get back to what matters. Good weather and demo day and golfing. And
What kind of clubs do you have?
I've got kind of a mixed batch. I actually had a custom set of irons that they make down here at Fiddler's. I got an Adams driver. I got a TaylorMade 3-wood. And I've got a Cleveland rescue club and 2 other matching rescue clubs. So
I'm the exact opposite. I'm going to be the type of guy, everything has to be the same. That's just my personality. I know I'm going to be like that, so we'll see. How good, you're good, aren't you? Aren't you really good?
I played high school, I played in college, and like I always say, once upon a time I would call myself a good golfer. Now I have clubs, and I go to golf courses. I don't know if you could actually term that as a good golfer, but I did have my day.
Is your handicap under 20?
It's right around 20 now.
Okay, you're solid.
Yeah, well, I'm old. I'm going to be 57, remember.
You're way better than I am.
Someday, Fentress, we have to get out there.
All right, buddy.
All right, enjoy. Take it easy.
Bye.